You loving Jesus today. I'll tell you something. I'm still excited about the baby. So if I get bored, I'm going to go over there and watch him. That's so neat. I tell you. There's nothing like new births. Amen. Come on. Amen. You know, in any shape. I mean, life. God's for life. Yes. I got a couple. Everybody has announcements. We do have a couple books back there. Some of them I've had with me for a while, like Revival Roar and Righteousness Revealed and How to Hear the Shepherd's Voice. The newest book is The Healing Flow that my wife has written. And it's what she learned from Oral Roberts about the healing ministry, having worked with Oral directly for 10 years and writing for him. And there are a lot of stories shared in that Oral never even shared. But it was actually his prep before he ministered to the sick and how he prepped himself for the miraculous. So, it's, you know, it's very interesting. We have a lot of the miracles we have seen over the years in there too. So we just want to build faith. So it, you know, the whole purpose is either to help you minister healing or help you to receive healing. Come on now. Because God wants you every whit whole. He does. You know, we have a sign-up sheet. Thank you, you know, Gordon and Debbie and the church for being partners with us. And we're so excited. I mean, I got the news. Today, as I opened up my iPad about 5 in the morning, I noticed that a ministry that we support very strongly that rescues girls and young men from sex trafficking, they got another 16 kids out yesterday. So we are very, very, very excited about that. So far, we've had 600 teenagers from the age of 6 to 16 rescued. So, and they are risking their lives going in where they're going. You know, I'm just supplying some of the money. You know, but they're literally, you know, they're putting their lives on. I love people like that. I want to talk. I want to start this morning. And you know, if you guys partner with us, that's where a lot of stuff goes. We're able to, we know people you probably don't know. So we're able to network with people that are actually doing the stuff. You know, not saying they're doing the stuff. They're actually doing the stuff. Come on now. There's a difference. But today I want to deal with something that God began to speak to me about this year. And at the end of last year, he made a statement to me. He said, "Tell my people they're not stuck. They just stopped." And for many people, they think they're stuck. But the place you're stuck is where you stop believing. Come on now. Because wherever you stop believing, you're stuck. Because there is no movement without faith. Yes. Come on now. And see, I remember in John chapter 11, it's one of my favorite chapters because it makes a lot of sense to me because it talks about when life doesn't make sense. You know, about when Lazarus was sick to the point of death. And Martha and Mary, that were good friends of Jesus, sent a servant to let Jesus know that their friend Lazarus was sick. And Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death." You can read it in red letters. Then he stays there an extra several days, and Lazarus dies. Now we got a problem. Because it looks like Jesus lied. Because he said it wasn't unto death. And yet he died. And in fact, when Jesus shows up, and he purposely was late, and I'm here to tell you, God many times is purposely late. I've heard people say, "God's never late." I say, "Yeah, he is." Sometimes he's purposely late because you have figured him out and you have this one revelation. He wants to show you a different revelation. And if he showed up when you want him to show up, he would have to fit in your revelation. And if he fit in your revelation, you would never grow. So he literally waits, come on, until it's too late. And then shows up. Come on. So we see Martha and Mary have been talking because Jesus shows up, and they both talked to him individually but said the same thing. You always tell when people are talking. Listen to all the news people. When you hear everyone use the exact same phraseology, you know it is fake news and manipulation. Come on now. It is. They've made up their story, and they're going to stick with it no matter what. The Russians are coming. But anyway, you know, if that's the best you can do, you're in trouble. $500,000 worth of ads would not mess up a... It wouldn't mess up a county election. Come on. Even if it were done, it wouldn't mess up a county election. But you see these situations, and they said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And many of us, we feel the same way. Lord, if you'd been here, my business wouldn't have failed. If you'd been here, my marriage wouldn't have failed. Lord, if you'd been here, that accident wouldn't have happened. Come on. It doesn't make sense. And then Jesus talks about the resurrection, that one day we'll be resurrected. We know one day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm not talking about one day. I'm talking about today. Because faith is now. Faith is not going to be. And faith is not it was. Faith is now. So if your faith is not now, it's not faith. You know? And anytime you read in the Bible, faith, and we'll get into that tonight, you need to put the word expect right next to it. Because really, faith is nothing more than expectation. That's all it is. And according to your expectation or your faith, so be it. Well, you know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And then he made a statement. He said, where have you laid them? Where did you disconnect? Where did you decide it was over? When is the place you decided that this was dead? It was finally dead. We're moving on. Because we're coming into a season where Jesus is going to visit tombs. Dead dreams have been buried there. Dead hopes have been buried there. Where did you decide it was over? Take me to that place and roll away the stone. Because I'm about ready, come on, to bring resurrection life to that which you thought was dead, but I never intended for it to stay dead. Come on now. So God is going to begin to resurrect some stuff in this season. We need to begin to believe and expect resurrection power. We need to, you know, God begin to show me that literally, that, you know, I love sports. I don't know about you. I absolutely love sports. I played a little bit. I mean, you know, if I was really good, you know who I was. But because I wasn't that good, you don't. But I'm better than you are because I played. But anyway, you know. But I love watching football, even though I didn't play football. Trust me, with this body, you don't play football. Unless you're a place kicker. You know. That's it, baby. But, you know, I played baseball, but I love watching football. And a lot of times when you're watching a game, there's a play on the field. And you'll even can see it because, you know, you got better angle than the refs do sometimes. And you'll say, that is a bad call. How many of you have ever said, that's a bad call? You know, that was really bad. But the coach can appeal it to a higher power. To someone with greater authority. And I'm here to tell you that there's been some bad calls on the field against you. Come on now. Sometimes there were well-meaning people that were out of position. They couldn't see right. But now we've appealed it to a higher power. And God is the judge. Come on. He puts down one, he exalts another. We're going to come into a season of overturning some calls on the field. A time of great favor, that which has gone against you, God's going to turn it and work it in your favor. Come on now. I believe that. Is this okay? Then God began to speak to me about this year, and I'm not even in the message yet. But he talked to me. He said, I want you to begin to operate at God's speed. And I know, you know, I travel so much. A lot of times people will wish you Godspeed, which means safe travels. But, you know, it's funny because that's where God spoke to me. Someone said, I wish you Godspeed. And I thought, I do too. I want Godspeed. And God said, yeah, he said, I'm about ready to accelerate everything. I'm accelerating light. I'm accelerating darkness. There's acceleration going on. Come on now. Godspeed, if you think about Godspeed, the only way that God can make up for all the wasted years in your life is Godspeed. Because I'm looking at some of you. You don't have that much time. So I literally, in Joel 2:25, that's Godspeed. Where in a moment, God can make up for all the years the cankerworm has eaten. In a moment, God can turn everything around. In a moment, you can get where you would have been had you not had all these things happen. Come on now. See, Godspeed is Amos chapter 9, I believe it's verse 14, where you plant with one hand and reap with the other. That's Godspeed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where all of a sudden, it's almost simultaneous. We're almost there. In my own personal life, we're almost there. God shows me something, he pays for it. It's amazing with me. I mean, we used to have to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and all of a sudden, it's just there. You know, I think that's when we've been sowing, 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 but now we're sowing and reaping like almost simultaneously. Makes you want to sow more. Come on now. So we'll find out later in this week. Anytime Jesus taught on giving, he really was teaching on receiving. Come on. See, the problem is if you're not generous, you don't have a revelation of a generous father. But see, John chapter 4 talks about Godspeed is entering other people's labors. Think about that. We're about ready to harvest all the good seed that's ever been sowed in this earth. Because it's still out there and still has fruit in it. And many times it wasn't due season. So one sowed, but another reaps. Guess what? We're the generation that not only is going to sow what we reap, we're going to sow what we didn't reap. What other people reaped. What other people sowed, we're going to reap. Come on now. Does that make sense? That's Godspeed. Come on. Some of you are going to get this. Godspeed is a prayer meeting on the upper room with 120 people, and the next day, 3,000 are added. That's Godspeed. That's not natural. And I'm going to tell you something. We've been stuck in the natural too long. See, God gave me three words that go together. He said, I want the church to become RAM tough. And RAM is an acronym for revelation, acceleration, and manifestation. But everything begins and ends with revelation. Because if flesh and blood revealed it to you, you don't have authority. The only authority you have that is going to dominate the earth is what came from the Father in heaven. See, the church will not prevail against the gates of hell if it's operating in a lower knowledge. Only way we can prevail against the gates of hell is if our eyes have been opened from heaven's viewpoint.
Yes, that's right.
Come on. See, everything begins with revelation. You know, you must believe to see the glory of God. You know, one of my things, my son, you know, they always ask him, they say, how come? Because he's always out there. He's beyond cutting edge. And when it comes to tech, he is. And he said, Daddy, I just believe to see. I expect to see. He said, I don't expect to see in every area. I expect to see in my area. But in my area, I can see. And be honest with you, every one of you, you have an area in which you can see. You might not be able to see everything because you're not supposed to. God will not show you someone else's part. He'll show you your part. Come on. So don't think you have to be a know-it-all, because you're not. Don't think you have to be a see-it-all, because you won't. But you know, you're able to see in your realm. Let's go to Isaiah 60. I'm going to have some fun this morning. And we're going to have fun all week. At least I'm going to have enough fun for all of us. And you know, if it gets real boring, I'll just start telling jokes. Like the butcher went to a party and had his wife with him. And he turned around to the guest and said, "Meet Patty." Or the guy that was addicted to drinking brake fluid but said he could stop at any time. But, you know. So, you know, we can be just as corny as you can be. My friend from Arkansas told those jokes, so. No. You know. Or when Boudreaux called up and his wife was having the baby and calls the doctor, said, "My wife's having the baby now." He said, "Is this your first child?" He said, "No, it's the husband." Come on. Anyway, Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Come on. See, I didn't say the light has come. This is so important. It doesn't say the light has come. It says your light. What does that mean? Your personal revelation. The revelation that was assigned to you. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is tied to your light. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, number one, you're never going to even receive revelation if you're not willing to change positions. Have you ever noticed that dead people and sleeping people look alike? So I never know if I'm supposed to raise the dead or just shake somebody. Come on now. But God says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord's risen upon you. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep or gross darkness. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." And notice that nations will come to your light. Come on. "And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up round about and see, they all gather, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, your daughters will be carrying the arms. Then you'll see and be radiant, and the wealth of nations will actually come to you." You know what God says? He says two things in this, that literally there are people that are assigned to your light. They're your spiritual sons, they're your spiritual daughters, and they don't even know it yet. But the moment you begin to shine your light, they're automatically drawn to it. They recognize it because it's part of their DNA, and it was literally set there by God. So if you don't shine, the harvest doesn't come in. There are people assigned to you, to the light you carry. Come on. And it says the wealth is tied to the light. So if you don't walk in the light God showed you, the provision can't be there. Come on. Am I going to help you? And God will actually give you an upgrade if you walk in your light. So he will literally take, he said, "Instead of bronze, I will give you gold. Instead of this, I'll give you that." And say, you know, everything he says, it's upgrade time. There's something about the light. There's something about us finding out that God says you must be born again to see the kingdom. Well, God doesn't show you the entire kingdom. He shows you your portion. But that's where you rule and you reign. You know, if you let your light shine, people will come. If you let your light shine, something begins to happen. In fact, how many of you understand nothing in the kingdom happens apart from revelation? You couldn't hear the gospel till you saw it. I preach this a lot, but people don't realize that the God of this world blinds the eyes of people. So the gospel makes no sense at all. People think you're crazy until the blinders are removed. How many of you thought people were crazy worshiping God? If you don't have a revelation of giving, you think giving's crazy. You know? Whatever you don't have a revelation, whatever you're in the dark, you know, be honest with you, you can't see it, so you can't have it. But the moment the blinders are removed, God becomes real in that area. It's almost any time God removes blinders, it's to show you a part of himself that you're supposed to participate in. God will never show you, evil you cannot stand against, and he'll never show you good that you cannot participate in. As I was sharing, with me, my life changed radically several years ago. Just talking to a lady that had been kidnapped at age, I believe, 5 and was there and was released from sex trafficking at 26, she escaped. She saw a lot of people die, young girls die during that time, including her sister. And she was telling her story, and I knew about the situation, but it wasn't real to me until I talked to her. And she's talking to me, and I'm weeping like a little baby. And I knew it was an expensive conversation, because I no longer could ignore something. Because when my heart comes in contact with a heart man believes, with a heart man sees, come on now. If your heart's not connected, there's no revelation. But the moment I saw that, it's like, it's a cause. Is there not a cause? We got to do something. And it's funny because, she was like the first person I had ever known. And within a week, a friend of mine contacts me. And he had moved overseas. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, I just want to bounce something off you. I'm building a safe house for girls that are being rescued out of the sex trafficking. So all of a sudden, we start investing in that. Then I went to preach at a local church, and the pastor had just resigned, and he's the one that basically leads children. It's CRI, Children Rescue International. He sends teams overseas, and they actually locate where these kids are. A lot of times they're in brothels. A lot of times they're tied with a drug cartel. And they risk their lives to go to get these kids out. And he said, I said, God, we got to be part of that. Each time I began to say, we got to get part of that, all of a sudden God began giving me an increase on the other side. I'm really kind of tight right now, but I'm going to believe God. I meant it. All of a sudden I wasn't tight anymore. Things were beginning to flow. And I knew where it was assigned. Why? Vision has purpose. God's provision. I said, don't live an ordinary life. An ordinary life is a visionless life. Has no vision to it. No purpose. Live an extraordinary life where you can make a difference. Is that okay? See, I've learned, I've learned. See, once we're born again, we're able to see the kingdom of God. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, put in the kingdom of light. See, without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, people are undisciplined. Without a vision, life stinks. Many of you have heard, I had a roommate at ORU that didn't bathe. He hates when I tell this, but I said, I don't use your name. He said, everyone knows who it is. I said, yes, stinky. But no, not anymore. But he did for a little while. He bathed once a month whether he needed to or not. And we'd work out in the gym every day. But one day, when he's at church, he looked back and he had a vision. So a beautiful girl about 6 rows back said, can you introduce me? I said, no, you stink. He said, what? I never told him that. I said, you stink. You don't bathe. You stink. You're going to scare her. So for the next week, he didn't go to class. I don't think he went to class. I just think he was in the shower the whole week. I suppose he wasn't all shriveled up, but Next week, when he raised his hands, we had revival, man. The whole church rejoiced. Come on now. He looks back. The woman, the girl's still in the same seat. He said, now will you introduce me? I said, yeah, you don't stink anymore. And a year later, they were married. And they've been married ever since. You know something? I've never known him to stink since. But before he had a vision, he stunk. And when I found out, life stinks without a vision. Sometimes we stink without a vision. Why? There's no reason to be cleaned up. Come on now. But when you have a purpose, when you wake up on purpose, come on. You know, it's like my wife is so funny because she sees things I don't see. I mean, every time she'll come wake up in the morning, I got another idea for a book. I never get ideas for books. Why? I don't write them. You know? But for her, this would make a good book. This would make a good book. This will make a book. And you know, I mean, Joey's the same way in his realm. I mean, how many of you understand? God wants to download things. We're coming to a season of downloads. He wants to show us things to come. Come on. You know, so many times I feel like people don't get filled enough with the Holy Ghost to see anything. Because the Holy Ghost will come on mightily and he'll show you stuff. He'll show you. Come on. You'll have visions, you'll have dreams, you'll have things you're supposed to participate in. Life won't be boring. Sometimes I pray for boring, but it won't be boring. Come on. And I go on vacation, and I love people that go to the beach or something like that. You know what beach for me is? 1 hour. I sit in the chair. Okay, we did that. Let's go. Come on. You know, if it's real, if I've been on the road for a month straight, that is 2 hours on the beach. If my wife would just be getting into position, I'm ready to change states. Come on. Hallelujah. We are different people. Well, you know, my son, you know, we were going to the Noah's Ark in Wisconsin is America's largest water parks, and we're going this extreme water ride. My son's into extreme rides. And I told him, I said, if it doesn't go around in circles, I will ride anything. Anything you ride, I will ride. That was the stupidest thing I ever said. Come on, man. I've said some stupid stuff. Do you know that there is a roller coaster that goes 169 miles an hour? You actually have to put goggles in so it doesn't blow your eyeballs out. True story. Don't ask me how I know this. When this particular ride's been featured on a lot of the extreme water rides thing, and you just stand up, and it's like several hundred feet straight down. You stand on this platform, and then they open it up, and I didn't have time to say Jesus. I just had time to say, Gee! You know, but he knew what I meant. He knew what I meant. Gee! You know? Well, my son was, you know, he was on it. After I hit the thing, I was just so happy. My whole life went before my eyes. Well, you know, he goes right after me. He hits the water. He gets out and he starts running. I remember when I used to be able to do that. I still run on the inside. On the inside, I run. On the outside, not so much. So I'm chasing him, you know. You know, he goes to his locker, and he takes out his iPhone, and I said, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, he said, my team has been working on this algorithm. He said, God showed me the algorithm. I said, when? On the way down. I saw my life before my eyes. He saw an algorithm. What is wrong with this picture? You know? That's just the way. I mean, come on. But when you can see, you can see in your realm. It's amazing. And how many of you understand? God doesn't want you to be something you're not. See, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, the biggest problem is when we try to be something we're not. I've always been crazy. Now I'm certifiable, no, anointable. But I enjoy being me. You know, My wife is kind of like the Satan one. We have to have one. But the bottom line is, you know, I when God called me in, I told him, I said, you know what you're getting. I'm the biggest joke you ever put on the body of Christ. And I've always wanted, but the Spirit, Jesus even said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He didn't say, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me trying to be someone else. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Yeah. See, I'll be honest. If we all were the same, only one of us would be needed. It'd be me. Come on. But if, honestly, God made us different for a reason, because he has different purposes for us to fulfill. And you just be yourself. Just be yourself, but be your anointed self. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're not anointed, you know, yourself's not that good. Come on. But, you know, I started, you know, to think about all the differences. And I thought about me letting my light shine. And in Matthew 5:13, let my light shine before men that they may see the Father. That people may see your good works and glorify the Father. You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. You got to let your light shine. Not someone else's. And like I said, I'm always this way. I mean, my wife said, you know, everyone knows you. I said, everybody knows me. They do. I mean, I walk into a place. I don't mean to be that way. It's just the way I am. There are a lot of people, they walk in, they'll never get noticed. My son is very well noticed in his realm, but he doesn't want to be noticed. I'm the one. Ah! I don't mean to. You know, I'm not real good at funerals. Actually, people will love to come to my funerals because I roast the guy. I mean, we did a funeral for my dad, and they asked if we could hold it over for another night. They were laughing so hard. I said, yeah, we could do it. Hey, Shell's here, Nut's gone anyway. Well, we can have a good time. But anyway, we're sitting there, and I get my coffee every morning at Quick Trip because my wife and my son, neither one of them like the smell of coffee. What is wrong with that picture? You know, I know people who don't drink coffee who like the smell of it. They don't like the smell of coffee. So, I always have had to get my coffee out. You know, when my son left, I finally bought a coffee maker after a 1 week of having him. My wife said, I can't take that smell anymore. So I had to leave. Actually, just for the coffee in the morning. So I go to this place called Quick Trip where they hired this lady. And I'm going in there every morning for about a week because I'm in town for a week. And she's staring at me the entire time. I'm getting my coffee. She's staring. I'm going, and I went to pay for the coffee, and she never said anything. I thought, she thinks I'm a shoplifter. And if I'm a shoplift, why would I shoplift coffee? Why would it be Quick Trip, man? I thought, this is really sad. But at the end of the week, I finally paid the last time, and she looked up. She finally said some words to me. She said, I've been watching you all week. I said, I've noticed. She looked at me. She said, you can't be that happy. I said, I am. She said, you can't be. I mean, she's real serious. She's almost angry. She said, you're happy before you get your coffee. And I told her, I knew I had her. So I said, let me tell you my story. I said, the first 18 years of my life, I had a daddy who hated me. I had a daddy who wanted to kill, steal, and destroy. I said, you know, no matter how good I was, I never was good enough. He never was there for me. In fact, he didn't believe in me. He didn't believe I was able to do anything. I said, my house was full of fear. It was such a negative environment. And he said, then one day I met the nicest man I've ever met. And he was rich. And he said, I want to adopt you. And I had nothing to lose. Everything to gain. So I said, yes. And I didn't know how much it would change my life. every time I failed after that, he didn't put me down. He lifted me up. Even when I didn't believe in myself, he believed in me. Every major event in my life, whether it's good or bad, he's always been there. I never questioned he's for me. And I said, you know, he gave me the family business. So now I'm rich. And I knew I had her. And I said, the good news is he wants to adopt you. And I said, if you haven't figured out, I'm talking about my Father God. I said, the reason you're so sad is you got the wrong daddy. Because it's impossible to stay happy with the wrong daddy. Impossible. Because honestly, the best you can do is circumstances. If circumstances are good, maybe you can be happy for a little while. But I said, you have a father. Honestly, you're of your father, the devil. I'm of my Father, God. There's only one choice either way. I said, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, the devil's your father. He's an angry taskmaster who hates you. It's not going to ever get any better. I said, but my father wants to adopt you, but the only way you can get into the family is through his believing in his son, Jesus. I said, are you ready to be adopted? By that time, she has big tears in her eyes. And by that time, I have a crowd, and they got big tears in their eyes. I said, okay. I said, how many of you are ready for adoption? I said, pray this. So she prayed the prayer. You're with me, and many of the other customers did too. And her countenance changed immediately when she accepted Jesus. Now we have this game. I come in the morning and go, hey! She goes, hey! We try to out-happy one another. We really do. And guess what? Some of the customers are, hey! You know, it's contagious. But it's just me letting my light shine. You know, you may not be able to get away with what I get away with because it's real. You know, I mean, I've heard Jesse say some things. Jesse DePlantis. He can get away with stuff. My wife said, don't you ever go there. Don't you ever. When he talks about his wife, he said, oh, no, don't go there. You're not going to survive, you know. But Jesse, he can tell Indian jokes at an Indian reservation. I mean, that's just the way he is. I mean, we were in Newark, New Jersey, where racial tension was real strong when we were there years ago. And he told a story. And all I remember is he's talking about why you'll never see blacks in a horror show. And you got to say, it's like 50-50%. I'm sitting on the platform. I said, don't go there, Jesse. But you know why? When he finished, I didn't hear the story because I'm praying for my life. Blood Jesus. But when he finished telling the story, they're all laughing. I said, only Jesse. Come on. Well, guess what? Every one of us, we have that only part. Come on. That's us. It's us. We can get away with it. Other people can't get away with it because it's who we are. And people know there's no guile. There's no, we don't have any other agendas. We're just being who we are. Come on. And see, God wants to anoint you, and he wants to show you stuff. Come on. He wants to show you your stuff. See, God's watching over the word that you've seen well to perform it. That's in Jeremiah 1:11. What do you see, Jeremiah? He mentioned what he saw. He said, I'm watching over the word that you've seen well. Therefore, I'm going to perform it. Understand, many times we misquote Jeremiah 1:12 as though God's going to perform every promise that we've never seen ourselves. We don't have a revelation, but we expect to have a performance. Only that which you've seen well can God perform.
Yes, that's good.
See, that's why we meditate. There's a confession unto faith, there's a confession of faith. The confession unto faith is, I know this is what the word says, but my eyes are not totally opened yet. I know it's true. I know it's real, but I don't have a revelation yet. So it's a confession unto faith. But the confession of faith is your eyes are open and it's your new reality. And you're not trying to convince yourself anymore. You're fully assured. And then, because there's no doubt in your heart, you can speak to the mountain and it has to obey you. Understand that. See, literally, faith is seeing, saying, and sowing. But you have to position yourself to see, whether you're positioning yourself in the wall, whatever you do, God, I'm going to see, I am going to see. I am determined to see in this area. Because I know there's more than what I've seen. And God says, call to me, I'm going to show you great and mighty things you know not. And every time God shows you, it's just like when my son saw that algorithm, it released a new product. That one algorithm was the holdup of something that literally has impacted hundreds of thousands of lives. I remember when I worked with Farmers Insurance Group, we were supernaturally behind. And I said, God, well, you have to help me. And God showed me something. And he actually literally gave me a vision of a claim sheet. And it saved 30 to 40% of the work hours for the entire company. One thing. And it was the fourth largest insurance company in the world. God knows. We might as well be the seers of this generation. Because if you can see, you can lead. And if you can see, the moment you see it, it accelerates. What was impossible becomes possible. What was before, just way out there, becomes a new reality. But see, my son said, I never, ever invent anything. I discover what's already been there. I put it together in a different form, and then I let everyone else see it. Come on. What would happen if the church ever began to see? Come on. What would happen if we all lived by God dreams? What would happen if we become well lopsided, so we actually just stay in our area? See, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Understand that Jesus himself, even though he had the Spirit without measure, was limited by revelation. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Our problem is we substitute education for revelation. So we do things like everybody else does and has the same impact. Come on. Am I helping you? Because God wants to download stuff. He wants to take you to the mountain like he did Abraham and show you as far as you can see you can have it. It's not just for you. It's for your children after you. When God showed me the school systems, I did not know when I was a youth pastor, and I'm praying, and I said, God, when he showed it to me, the result was thousands of teenagers being affected by the gospel. One revelation can change everything. I wasn't even considering going to the schools. On a personal note, when I was at doing street evangelisms, and the Lord told me, your wife is in the corner. I had prayed. I wanted a wife, but I wanted God to choose her. I sure wanted her to look good, though. And here I'm teaching street evangelism. While I'm teaching, the Lord said, your wife's in the corner. There are three girls there. I said, which one, Lord? Later told him, I said, Lord, if it had been one of the other two, I probably would have backslid. He said, that girl. I said, that looks good to me. But, but everything I've done, and I don't think you have to have a revelation on everything. There are times you just go your life. My normal lifetime is just normal. But anytime God begins to intervene by showing me something. I feel like Paul at times. I'm heading this direction. I'm heading that direction. The Holy Spirit forbids, so you can't do that. Well, I said, what's up? Then he shows you Macedonia, and he shows you the call. You bear much more fruit than you ever would have without that revelation knowledge. It's probably the most fruitful thing that Paul ever did was the Macedonian call. And it came by revelation. Come on. I believe God wants to begin to get us hungry for revelation. Because what I found out on the other side of revelation, there's an acceleration, there's manifestation. If you believe and hold on to it, and take whatever steps you can. But once we decide that this is it, it is. And to be honest with you, the older you get, the harder it is to decide whether you actually want to do what it takes to get to the next level. And God doesn't, He doesn't force you. I mean, I've looked at it several ways. And I said, Lord, I can't give up on what I've seen. If I could, I would. To be honest, it's easier. You know? But I can't do it because it's not about me. If it wasn't for the fact that what he showed me impacts so many lives, I could easily let go of it. But I don't want their blood on my hands. Let me tell you something. Every revelation demands participation. And guess what? God will judge you based on what he showed you. Not based on always on what you have done, but what he showed you. Did you pursue it? Now, you don't make it happen. But as long as you're pursuing it, you're being obedient to the heavenly vision. Guess what? If you can be obedient to a heavenly vision, you can be disobedient to a heavenly vision. Come on. Am I helping people? Oh, you want to hear the butcher joke again? Whatever. But today I believe God wants, how many of you want more vision? How many of you say, God, open my eyes, open my ears? How many of you want to get back to that place, just a fresh place in faith? Say, God, I don't want to live on yesterday's banner. I want you to keep showing me more and more and just what you show me, because every season has adjustments. There are certain things God said, you can't go back. There's other seasons I want to go back. I want you to go back, and then we're going to do this because it's on the shelf and it wasn't time. So get back off the shelf, dust it off, and I'm going to make it current. I'm going to take what I showed you back then. I'm going to bring it up to this date because the deal's still on. Other things said that was first season. That season's over. And you have to know the Holy Spirit to know which one it is. Come on. It's kingdom stuff. You know? But I'm going to go on. How many of you going on? I want every head bowed, no one looking around. I'm going to pray God will put you to sleep so you have a dream. No, just kidding. You always like this. Yeah, yeah. First thing I got to ask, is there anyone here? I think I know the answer, but is there anyone here? You've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or you walked away from him, or it's time to make a comeback? Anybody? You all know you're saved. Not me. If Jesus came here, you'd go up like in the first batch. You don't want to be part of the leftovers. You know, come on. But how many of today say, you're talking to me? I need to see something that excites me. Come on. Because I found out something. Information doesn't move you much. Education doesn't move you much. And we need both of those, by the way. Don't be, you know, God does not think stupid's good. But the bottom line, it's not good enough. Because it is the revelation that comes through the anointing that makes all the difference. It gives a God advantage, just like my son tells people all the time. He said, you know, you guys are all smart, because he's dealing with some of the smartest people in the world. He said, but I'm anointed smart. You can see in one realm, I can see in two realms. I have a dimension you don't have, therefore I can see what you can't see, therefore you need me. Come on. And he said, I can introduce you to the one, but they're where he is, they run for the hills. God! Ah! No. So, but how many of today, I want to pray for you. How many of you want prayer? You want prayer to see more? Some of you need a prayer for healing to be manifest. We know by his stripes we were healed. If you're trying to get God to heal you, that's not faith. If you believe he healed you 2,000 years ago and you're waiting for the manifestation, you can put your faith in what he's done. If you don't believe he finished it, then you believe there's more that he needs to do, then you don't understand what took place on the cross. The only thing Jesus works at right now is in prayer, trying to get us to believe. Oh, Lord, I could hear him say, yeah. Father, help them to believe. Help them, help them, help them to want what I've already given them. Help them to receive it's a done deal and not get in the way by trying to put all their flesh efforts into stuff that is already paid for in full. Come on. If you want prayer, I want to pray for you this morning. Come on up. Come on up real quick. Can you do that? Come on. You can come on. This is the altar call. Come on up. Who wants prayer? I dare you. I double dare you. Some of you, you may come expecting. Expect God to begin to reveal things to you. If you need a healing, expect the healing to be manifest. Come on. This is a new season. You know, every church is a birthing thing. Why? Because there's dreams and visions God wants. You know, there's areas now, you know, we're looking at different countries around the world now. I've got all these different places, I've got all these pastors that say, you know, we want to come under your covering. And I'm thinking, you know, from all these different countries, I'm just praying about it. I don't know what to take yet. I'm not going to do it because it sounds right. I'm going to do it when God says to. But I'm grateful that it's starting to happen. There's movement going on. So I want you to lift your hands towards heaven. Thank him. Thank him. There's so much more. Thank him. There's so much. God, thank you for all you've done for us, but there's so much more. Father, we're believing you for the more. We're believing you, God, for that portion that has not been manifest in our lives yet. And we're also believing for you, you to show us. Sometimes it's just one little correction that sets us ablaze. One little thing, God, and all of a sudden, it's like, I can see it now, I can see it now, I can see it now, I can see it now. There's an explosion of seeing going on. There's an explosion, the anointing of God's all over your lives for such a time as this. You might as well dream so big. There's a healing explosion. There's an anointing. Many of you, you know, you've been kept alive supernaturally because the miracle. Come on. Because God said, I'm not finished yet down here in the manifestation area. He's finished in the work area. And he's working on our faith to get us to the position where everything can be manifest as he shows it. Come on now. He's at work in us. Then suddenly he makes up for all the wasted years. He begins to return things. And he gives us such a big vision on how our lives can influence other lives. God's the author and finisher of faith, which means he never stops increasing faith. Think about that. He keeps increasing the revelation of faith that we have. And all of a sudden, you just know that you know that you know that you know it's going to be just like he said, just like he said, just like he said, just like he promised. There's miracles in the house right now. There's a miracle power. You guys cannot be defeated and you can't be denied. Oh. Some of you have been through the fire. You've been through the flood. God's bringing you out to the wealthy place. The place of too much. God, you don't know what I've been through. God said, you don't know what you're going to. Because if you know what you're going through, too, whatever you're going through doesn't make a difference because it's a done deal. During the fire, it seems like he lost everything. When you come out of the fire, everything gets returned. And not just returned, but returned, you know, with a sevenfold return. Come on now. Some of you are going to begin to see that literally you're going to have the last laugh. Other people had the first laugh, but you're going to have the last laugh because he promised it and it's a done deal. And God says, I've been working on your seer. I'm taking you back to a fresh mountain. I'm going to show you all the mountains you're supposed to impact. So I will love that God. He takes us to the mountain of the Lord. Then he shows us the seven mountains we're supposed to impact in our community. Come on. Whereas every realm, there's still leadership in your bones. Whether you like it or not, you can't get away from it. So you might as well do it. The deal's still on. After all these years, the deal's still on. See, many times we want to retire. God wants us to refire. And he said, I'll bring fresh brands, but you're going to have to fire them up. Then we can change position. Because there's certain things, there's certain vision they can catch. I found out something. You get around a visionary, you start becoming a visionary. You know, my son's a seer, I'm a seer. I just see in a different realm than he does. And don't you guys put down what's going on even in the tech industry in California. Paul Daugherty just met for an entire day with the Facebook staff. Mark Zuckerberg, all of them. And they've invited him back. He prayed over their staff. He prayed over their business. He prayed over their buildings. And he said, you know, they're a little confused. But he said, you know, they're brilliantly confused. And he said, but I believe God has inroads everywhere now. And I believe instead of judging what's going on that's bad, let's be part of the answer of what's good. Because you're part of the answer. You're always part of the answer. And, you know, God's just strengthening you right now. You know, because, you know, you've got such fresh vision. It's who you are. I mean, you're a mercy champion. And that's an amazing thing because it's the heart is connected. You know, that's my zone. Well, I believe God's going to take care of the other zones around to free up for your zone. I just am believing that right now. Yeah, I've been praying that even in our lives, we're praying the same type of thing. I said, God, surround me with people who can see what I can't see, and I don't even want to see it. I just want dealt with by other, you know, so I can just stay in my zone. You know? I believe, you know, something my son said years ago on a college thing, sometimes we're well lopsided. You know, they want everyone to be well-rounded. He said, I'm well lopsided because if you're well-rounded, you're not the best at anything. But he said, when you're well lopsided, it means you're focused. You are extremely focused. And God's bringing healing. He's bringing strength. And you're going to see it. You're going to see the breakthrough. You know, you're so blessed it's ridiculous. And there is a fresh download. And just God gave you that little gift. Come on. When you look back, this is just, it's another reminder. Come on. This is what I'm about. I'm about rescuing and nurturing. Come on. And you're going to raise up a team of rescuers and nurturers that have the same spirit you do. And I release that anointing now in Jesus' name. You know, it's bigger than you are. Come on. Thank God. You're a world changer in your realm. You're a world changer. You can be excited, be encouraged, and get some rest as much as you can. You know, I'm just excited because God downloads stuff. You know, every time we see something, we're changed. As we see Him, we're changed. But as we see some things He shows us, it changes us. It charges us. And God's opened up your eyes to all the potential. You know, and all those word curses of years ago, they've been broken. And now you're freed up to pursue what God has put in your heart. And I release that anointing now in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we just have to take authority over every word all throughout our lives that was spoken that's contrary to the will and ways of God. And thank you, God. I thank you, God. He's on assignment. Supernatural growth. Supernatural growth. What the enemy meant for evil, God's working it together for good. Come on now. You know, dumb devil. Dumb devil. Sometimes we get a revelation because we have to. Kept us alive. The next thing you know, it's not now what kept us alive becomes a weapon. And I sense weapons of righteousness for your right hand and your left hand. God's restoring, bringing things back. Fresh vision in the natural. Fresh vision in the spirit. Come on, fresh strength. It's almost like, God, I'm ready for you to restore. And I'm going to bear more fruit than I ever would have before. Because now my faith has been more activated than it's ever been. In the name of Jesus. There are downloads from heaven. Get ready for this week to have dreams and visions. And get ready for God to revisit things. You know, there are chapters right now we are revisiting. And I said, God, I wasn't prepared to do that now. It's part of his youth. Right now, we're touching thousands of youth. And that's freaky to me. I said, that was a 40-year-old chapter. But God said, no, it's not over. You know, I just don't climb the largest rock wall in New England anymore. They got tired of trying to push me over it. Thank you, Pastor.